We believe at Daleville Christian Church that you are blessed if you know what it is you believe. There's even more blessing if you can state that. And so during worship, we do state what it is we believe, and we share that here online. Today's affirmation of faith is from 1 Peter, the second chapter. We are God's own people, so that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. The reading from God's Word today is from John's Gospel book, chapter 10, verses 6 through 14. Jesus used this figure of speech, but some of whom he was talking with did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Daleville Christian Church desires that you have a stronger relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Daleville Christian Church wants to help you have a stronger relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible desires that we grow in our relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is not a static, status quo thing. Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." So we can't remain the same old, and therefore our relationship with Jesus cannot be the same old. At graduation time, and we pray for graduates here at Daleville Christian Church, and they're going off to school or armed forces or a new job, we pray that they find the Lord in new places, in new ways. The old places and the old ways may not be available to the graduates. They may no longer worship here. They have to find a new place of worship where they are going to be, a place to pray. You who are here this morning, however, if you are here, can stay here, but I don't believe Jesus wants you to remain the same. Jesus has never wanted me to remain the same. I believe that's one reason I can pastor here for so many years. I'm not the same person I was when I came here. And I think we can all praise the Lord for that. I love to tell the story of an elderly woman I knew in Maine. I worked in the state of Maine for 3 summers. We were celebrating the couple's anniversary. I don't remember which one, 60th, I guess. This was back in the 70s, and a young woman was present and told the older woman, the older woman's name was Letha. The young woman wondered aloud to Letha how she could have been married to the same man so many years. Letha immediately spoke up and said, "Oh, my dear, he's not the same man that I married." Friends, 60 years of marriage will grow you into a relationship redwood, will it not? A year ago in the sanctuary, we celebrated a Greek Orthodox wedding, a rare privilege for a Protestant church. A part of that wedding ceremony in the Orthodox Church is that the couple are given crowns. Those are not the crowns of prince and princess or king and queen. Those are crowns of martyrdom. The couple are supposed to die to themselves that their relationship might live. The new relationship is a one new living thing growing out of the lives of two people. I've always appreciated that part of the Greek Orthodox wedding ceremony. Jesus said just about the same thing. The new wine has to have a new container. You can't use the old container for new wine. You can't keep a relationship with Jesus in the same old ways. And why can we even talk about all this? It's because Jesus died and he rose again from the dead. But as I often remind all of us, Jesus was not resuscitated. Jesus was resurrected. We have people in hospitals and surgical rooms and emergency rooms that are resuscitated. They will live only to die again. Jesus was resurrected to life eternal. And because Jesus lives this new resurrected life, we too may have this new eternal life if we will have a relationship with our Lord Jesus. This is what we read today in God's Word. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, says Jesus. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Knowing Jesus as Jesus knows us, to have Jesus as our keeper. I read this statement about the good news of Jesus. Not only is this believable, it is true. Sometimes people get the idea that faith means something that is unbelievable. Not at all. Everyone got in their vehicles today and drove here to church. You had faith that you would not be in a horrible accident? Was it believable that you would not have an accident? Well, you can say it never happened before, which isn't really answering the question. The question is it believable to get in your vehicle and arrive here without an accident? Is that believable? And most of you would have to say, yes, it's believable. Is the Bible believable? Yes. Yes, it is. There are many points in the Bible we can say this actually happened. And you don't have to accept the Bible itself on just that fact. Other people who were not believers have written of events and people that are in the Bible. Much of the Bible is confirmed by archaeological study. The Bible, or I should say there is a lot of the Bible we can say, these things actually happened. And for any of you with a few doubts, the Bible is more historically reliable than many books we simply assume are true. The Bible is believable. When we come to the Bible, I read once, you hold a true story in your hands. I'm kind of a nitpicker on words. I won't even use the word story because it often suggests something that isn't factually true. I prefer the word account. When we come to the Bible, you hold a true account in your hands. You can even hold this true account to account. The true account is accountable. Right now in several American cities, people want to know a true account of police shootings. We want to know true accounts. Friends, when we read the Bible, we are reading not one person's opinion, we are reading a true account. And the true account is accountable. So when we read John's gospel book, and I make a distinction because we have letters from John and we have a gospel book from John, a gospel book is a type of literature. John's gospel book, called John, says near the end of the book, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John wants you to have life. John isn't asking you to give up anything. John isn't asking you to believe the unbelievable. John wants you to receive something. So is faith giving something up? Not to John. Not according to John's book. And John is just repeating what he heard Jesus say. John 6:63, Jesus says, the Spirit gives life. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. And Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. John received life from Jesus, and John wants you and I to receive life. Last week we read from John's Gospel book in chapter 6. There was an incident and Jesus had to ask the disciples if they wanted to leave him. Jesus asked the disciples, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus came to give us life and to have that life in abundance. John 10:10, "I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." We've looked at this verse before, John 10:10. Other ways to read that verse, Jesus said, "I came so that they could have life." Indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest is one way. Jesus said, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." There's even another way I don't even understand. Jesus said, "I came that they have life and have more plenteously." I didn't even know plenteously was a word. I'm sure I can ask one of the farmers, "This season, do your crops yield more plenteously?" Well, however you interpret Jesus' words, it seems clear that Jesus wants us to have something. Jesus wants to give us something. Jesus wants us to live a full life. I don't think that Jesus means we will do a lot of traveling or pursue many careers or make a lot of money. Do you? I mean, the disciples did wind up traveling quite a bit, but the disciples didn't travel first class or even travel to a holiday destination. One of the disciples got sent to the island of Crete and didn't want to stay there. The apostle writes to Titus and says that his service on the island of Crete is in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised. Those are the words of the apostle himself. So we see the message and the work and the relationship with the Lord is about life. It's all about abundant life that the Lord wants us to have. It's not the places we will go or the things we will do. What it really is about is the relationship with the Lord, whose words are life. Jesus is always talking about relationships. Jesus uses some pretty strong language, that we are one, that we abide with each other. Jesus even uses garden examples. "I am the vine, you are the branches." That's a close relationship, don't you think? And what does that relationship produce? It produces fruit. Jesus talks about a new life. Jesus talks about us having not an old life with the rest of the Jesus life tagged onto it. We don't have a life and then put Jesus on at the end or just add Jesus. Jesus talks about a new life. Jesus talks about this new life in such radical terms that some people Jesus talked to didn't get it. Jesus told this guy named Nick, Nicodemus, for some of you who are old school. Jesus told this guy named Nick, "You have to be born again." And Nick said to Jesus, "How is that possible? How can someone be born when they are old?" Nick asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And although Nick didn't understand what Jesus said, it does show that Nick was listening. Jesus explained that this born-again life is from the spiritual realm. Born-again life is from the Holy Spirit. Jesus went on to say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Do you hear in there the desire that the Heavenly Father has for us to have life and have it forever? And that the Lord has sent Jesus so we can have that life forever? New life. And it's forever. That's a promise. It's a guarantee. And there are any number of people now living or formerly living who testify, they claim and they proclaim that Jesus gave them a new life. I quoted for you last week a former Muslim, and I quoted again in order to help you remember last week's sermon, see? Nabil Qureshi is a Pakistani-American, a Muslim, a follower of Islam who converted to the Christian faith. He's written a book entitled Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He says this in an interview when he was asked, do you ever get tired of being the guy who converted from Islam to Christianity? And Nabil said, yes, thanks for asking. After 9 years of being a follower of Jesus, you're the first who's asked. Even the term former Muslim makes me feel like I'm forever bound by the life I left. We don't identify other Christians as former adulterers or former thieves. I have been made a new creation in Christ. I strive every day to cast off the old self and put on the new, reflecting the fact that I have been born again from above. I would be thrilled if I never had to talk about Islam again, focusing instead on the awe-inspiring power of God's incarnation and resurrection. Friends, you and I don't have to talk about the way we were. We can look forward to a new and living hope, a living relationship with the Lord Jesus that begins a new season for us. And I like to claim that fact every day. I like a song that says, I'm just a believer that things are going to get better. That isn't quite accurate. I'm not sure that things are going to get better, but I do believe that I am going to get better. That is possible through Jesus Christ. I have sinned. We have all sinned. But our sins are not the last word. Jesus has the last word. God's grace has the last word. There's another great contemporary Christian song, You Are More. I think that's the title of the song, You Are More. You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. As a follower of Jesus, one who claims the salvation that Jesus offers, you and I can and will be remade. We'll have a new life. The missionary we support works through Crew, and their website contains the real-life stories of people who found Jesus. I want to share Melissa's story. You can find it there online, the Crew website. She went to college and worked to preserve a certain image of a real college woman, and that included partying. And included alcohol. Long story short, she wound up driving drunk one night, caused a crash, injured the two people in the other car, but killed her friend and passenger. Melissa stated much later, God was able to show me through my conversation with my friend Shannon the much bigger theme of forgiveness. I was so desperate for it at the time. It was exactly what I knew I needed, so Shannon shared the gospel with me for the first time that night. I was asking questions about everything because I wanted to really understand what this could mean for me if Jesus died for my sins and through faith in him I could be forgiven completely. It seemed impossible with what I had done, especially knowing I was responsible for someone else's death. I simply could not understand how, knowing that's what I would do, God would still love me so much that he would die in my place. Later, Melissa stated that day, it was so clear that this really is true and Jesus really is worth my life. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe in him and I'm going to live for him. If he truly is who he says he is and accomplish what he says he accomplished, then he's absolutely worthy. I knew instantly that it was the best decision I'd ever made in my life. Melissa said it was just amazing. I think I experienced joy that day for the first time in a long time. Now, shortly after making her decision to follow Jesus, Melissa was brought up on criminal charges related to the auto accident and received a prison sentence of 30 months. She was recently released and is now completing her degree at university. In addition to taking classes, Melissa disciples a young woman on campus, is co-leading a Bible study in the same dorm where she first learned the gospel, and works as a pastor's assistant at her local church. Melissa has a new life from Jesus who promised, I make all things new. It is as Jesus' disciples discovered. You, Lord, have the words of life. Amen.